We praise God for you all being here, and we are thankful for what God is going to do through his word. And as we kind of winding down in our study of the book of 1 John, so turn over to 1 John chapter 4, if you guys would. And I'm just reminding you guys, at the end, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table together. And I just encourage you, if you didn't pick one up, one of the elements, we'll have one of our deacons bring those around in just a little while for you guys. So no need to worry about that. So we are going to just ask God to speak to our hearts as we open up his word. This is kind of a message that is really pointed, really powerful, from one of God's gentle disciples, John. So let's just ask God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the day you've given us. We just want to praise you, Lord, for all the things, Father, that you are doing, Lord, in our midst. And Lord God, you have brought us through a challenging time with COVID. You continue to bring us through the normal, everyday challenges of life, Lord, that we still wrestle with and still face. And Father, we're thankful for you. We're thankful, dear God, that you've given us your word and that you've given us your Holy Spirit today to guide us, to convict us, to change us, to bring things to our mind, Lord, that need to be brought. And Father, just to peel back the veneer and the facade of our hearts that we might really see where we are. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, in that way, Lord, just to be able to understand your word today, Lord, and really take something home that is going to change us and change how we think and how we live. Lord, I just ask that you would just work in our hearts now, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So take out your Bibles, if you guys would, this morning, and we are looking at the book 1 John again. I just want to share our fellowship garden is number one, is growing. The plants are growing, and the gardeners are growing in their fellowship, which is really a good thing. So you can see some of the pictures. It's sort of a cross of lots of generations, lots of things going on. And we are just thankful for Marion and Edna Fair. I think they're online today. Just appreciate their just leadership, and they're just driving us forward, and their work ethic as well. And we're just praising God and what's happening with that. And I'll just share, as you think about that picture, those pictures kind of show us what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, no one's thinking about who the other people are, where they come from, what's their background. They're just so happy to be together and to, you know, dig and do things. And that's kind of what God wants us to be as the Church of Jesus Christ. So I want to just jump right in this morning. And the message title is this, right? It's called The Bottom Line on Love, Obedience, and Victory. Now, how many people out there are kind of bottom line oriented people? Raise your hand. You kind of like just cut to the chase. And I see Ed Jackson raise his hand. By the way, he's great for us in our deacon meetings because he's like, guys, this is what we need to do. Like, and he's like, let's just take a vote then. Like, you know, he's kind of directing us back to where we need to be when we're all over the place sometimes. So we need those kind of folks. And in my former career as an accountant, you know, that's a big thing. Bottom line. What's the bottom line? You know, we got those people like Al Myers here at the church. You know, he's always looking at the money stuff. What's the bottom line? You know, a lot of us like to spend it, but somebody's got to hang on to it. So what's the bottom line, right? We look at those things, right? So the bottom line today is we're going to cut to the chase, and we're going to look at the epistle of 1 John in just a really straightforward way as John kind of wraps up these points and these ideas. So the eternal truth that I want you guys to get a hold of, remember, the kind of big theme of this epistle is fellowship with God and fellowship with each other, and that fellowship gives us joy, right? And the bottom line that we want to think about in all of these three areas, the bottom line is relationship and fellowship with God first, and with each other as a result of our fellowship with God. That's kind of like the bottom line of life, are those things. And John cuts right to the chase. And I want to kind of tee this up for a minute this morning. When you look at this first slide, and just notice, and by the way, when you think of John the Apostle, I want y'all to wrestle with me for a quick second. What comes to your mind about John the Apostle? What type of guy is he? Say it real loud. He's he's a lover, right? He's a lover, right? And, you know, he's kind of gentle. Like, John is the guy who laid on Jesus' breast or Jesus' chest. You know, Peter's the one who cut off Malchus's ear, right? They're quite different in their personalities, right? Peter is a right-in-your-face kind of guy. And John is a lover. You know, everybody likes him. He's down to earth. He's all those things, right, that, you know, kind of we may aspire to be but aren't sometimes or a lot of times. And I put this in the bottom here. I called the words of gentle John. And what I want to say is John is gentle, but John kind of takes off the gloves here for a second, and he says something that's really, really pointed that we really need to hear as the Church of Jesus Christ today. In the midst of all this mess that's going on and all the challenges, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to hear these words. And by the way, in John's day, it wasn't any different because they were struggling with all kinds of false teaching, you know, all types of heresy going on. They were dealing with the Roman Empire. They were dealing with issues of ethnicity, Jews and Greeks and slaves and free. And it was a mess then too. And here's the uncomfort. Everybody look up. Here's the discomfort. When you realize that you don't measure up to God. Isn't that uncomfortable? Doesn't it kind of make you feel like, oh, when you see your sin, it's uncomfortable. And God wants us to kind of get used to, as the Spirit of God is working in us, get used to feeling uncomfortable because that's where God's working. You know, I'll throw this out to you guys. Do we often change when everything is like beautiful? When life is just going along and everything is perfect? Are we seeking change then? Usually the answer is no. We want to keep that feeling, keep that situation just as long as we can. But when the bottom drops out and we see ourselves, all of a sudden now we're going like, uh-oh, something's wrong. We don't see it wrong when everything seems okay, right? And that's kind of where God's taking us this morning. So let's dig in. Bottom line of love, right? Write down these three words on your outline. Think about, this is God's law. And I don't mean, and by the way, this is God's law as a Christian. And we'll look at that and say, that's kind of a weird way to think about it. Think about this idea of our lens and think about the Lord. So I want to just share a couple of verses with us, right? And here's the first one right from the text. And we kind of looked at it, right? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. So kind of just to get right into this idea today, if there's any of us here this morning, right, we say we love God, probably for sure, but we're not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, you're lying. I'm lying. And by the way, this is not me going like this. This should be me going like this, right? I'm convicted. I'll share a little bit of my confessions with you guys in just a little bit. But I struggle with some things, and you probably do too. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not? And this commandment we have from him, that who loves God must love his brother also. So there's no exceptions, right? Now I want to just stop for a second. Think about this. And by the way, in chapter 1, verse 2, John kind of fleshes that a little bit more. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who was begotten of him. Now, we don't talk so much like that today. What's he trying to say? If your father is God, and you've been begotten by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will, or you must, love your brothers and your sisters. You have the same father. You have the same DNA. The same spirit that Paul talks about, who saved you, saved them. You have the same DNA. It's kind of like in our families, by the way, right? You know, and your parents say that, he's your brother, you gotta love him. But mom or dad, you don't know what he did. He stole my thing, he stole this. He won't let me watch this. You know, he broke my computer. And your parents say, well, you gotta love him, he's your brother. Right? And that's kind of what the Lord's trying to say. And he kind of just emphasizes that. And he says, by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And what I want to say, and we're going to flesh that out more in a second, is there is this undeniable link
between loving God and obeying God. And that same linkage takes me from obeying God to loving my brothers and my sisters. Because that's the command. So God, if you love God, for real, because you're a saved person, then God says, you got to obey me. And by the way, we'll look at this in a second. That's not so burdensome anymore because the Spirit changes. So if I obey him, one of God's chief commands is, I have to love my brothers and my sisters. Right? That's the issue. So we're going to move on. And I want to just step back for a second. Remember I said, this is the law. This is the law for believers, right? Paul said this in Galatians. He said, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. But aren't you glad about the liberty and the freedom that you have as a Christian? Well, guess what? It says, don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. By the way, take that verse, if you write that verse, that's the church today, devouring itself. Because we are more a political party, we are more an ethnicity, we are more something else than we are a son or daughter of God. And we're going against what God says. We're blowing it up, we're messing it up in a big way. And that's how God wants us to think. You know, we're devouring each other. The Lord even takes it further, right? And you're familiar with this passage, Matthew chapter 12. It's a lot of words on the screen. Turn there in your Bible. Turn to Matthew 12.
If you have a Bible, turn there. Matthew chapter 12, right? Beginning in verse 25, it says, but Jesus knew their thoughts. And I just want to remind you and remind myself, Jesus knows our thoughts. That's a little bit unnerving, isn't it? You guys can look at me. You might know my thoughts. You may try to guess at them, maybe think you know them. Even husbands and wives, sometimes we think we can predict what the other person's thinking, and we can to some level, but we really don't know. God knows your thoughts. And he says this in Matthew chapter 12. He says, and by the way, this is the context, you know, where Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, and they said, you know, Jesus cast out those demons by Beelzebub. In other words, Jesus is casting out the demons by Satan himself. And Jesus says, that is illogical. That doesn't make any sense. That's impossible. And he says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. You know, think about that. So the First Baptist Church, if we're divided against ourselves on anything other than Jesus Christ, finish the statement. What does that say? We're not going to be here. I'll throw this out. If there's any families out there that are divided against themselves, Jesus says, you know what? It's not going to stand. Didn't that scare you a little bit? Think about, you know, all we've invested in our families, in our church, in each other. And if we divide against ourselves, it's going to implode. It's not going to stand. Yet that's where Christendom is. And if it were not for the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, we could probably bring the church to destruction. But I think God's not going to open, for sure. His power is greater than ours, and he can change hearts. And he uses messages like the one from John to say, you know what? Church, wake up. Stop chasing everything. Chase me. Right? Chase me. You know, he said that. You think about Matthew chapter 5. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the church of Jesus Christ, we're seeking everything except the master. And I think that's what John is trying to get across to us. You're a liar if you don't love. Your seeking is wrong. Your lens is wrong. And Jesus makes that in such a pointed way. And you guys can look at the rest of that verse, right? You know, I'll share with you guys, when you think about this issue of division and not loving each other, I take you to John chapter 17. Turn over there real fast. John 17, by the way, is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And Jesus, right before he is about to leave earth, he is compelled by the Spirit of God that's upon him to seek his Father and to pray for us. You know, and I share with you as I look at this text, right, and I underline some words for you. Notice that five times in this passage, Jesus prays for one thing. And I want to ask you a question. What is that? Say it loud. He prays that the church would be what? One, right? Undivided. One. Because we're all chasing the Master. We're all seeking him. There's one focus. Not many focuses, one focus. And that makes me able to love everybody who's a brother or sister in Christ, because that's the focus. And he just says it. He says, your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. You know, God's goal for us is that we are like the Godhead. And I'll throw this out. Do you think God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit ever had a fight? Did they ever have sort of a different idea about things? And I'll throw this out. You know why? Because they submit perfectly to each other and to the Father. And that's a whole conversation, because you might say, how's that work? Jesus, Holy Spirit. But that's what's going on. They're willing to obey. They're willing to submit. They're willing to have one purpose in one direction. And he says it so many times. He says, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I want you guys, check this out. If we're one, guess what? It gives our Christianity credibility. If we're divided, people say, it's a farce. It's not real. It's just some other religion. You know, it's an opiate of the people, as Mark said, right? That's what we're saying. But Christianity, when we practice it in unity as one and we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, it gives a credibility like none other. And that's what he's trying to get across to us here, right? And again, you can read the rest five times. God, I pray that they're one. 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 He must have saw 2021 coming. What do you think? You know, and he saw it in every day, every age, right? And everybody look up. Satan has one strategy, divide and subtract. And by the way, the divide part begins with deceit. Deceive. You know more. Your way's better. Those other people, they don't know as much as you. So pull back from them and then subtract. Body's weak. Can't have that, right? We can't have those things. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. 1 Corinthians, right, chapter 3. Same idea, right? It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. This is Paul, by the way, right? And you know, remember the church at Corinth is, by the way, a good illustration or example of a church like ours, or a church in the West, or even a church in the East. We're a mess, right? We're carnal. We're fleshly. We're still driven by our own desires many times more than we're driven by the power of the Spirit. And he goes in, he talks about that issue, and he says, and I just want to skip down to the part I underlined. He says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Paul was no surprise. This was no surprise to him either, as he taught as well, right? In the church, right? Division, struggle. We need to be a people of love. By the way, love doesn't mean we go, everything's okay. Love means when it's not okay, we jump on board and we try to fix it and make it okay and get people back with the Spirit and with God where they need to be, right? So we don't condone sin, but we love the brethren even in sin, right? That's what he's trying to get across to us here, right? So Paul says that too, you know, and then, you know, we continue. And I'll throw this out. I love this passage, right? Y'all know this passage, right? And how's it go? It says, I plant it. Say it with me. I plant it. Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Well, you know, I thought about that a lot today. In the Church of Jesus Christ today, that's happening. But you know what's also happening? Satan's planting, Christians who are carnal are watering, and Satan is reaping the increase. As we divide, fight, and not love each other. Right? And that's what he's trying to get across, to help us understand that thing. And he says at the end, he says, you are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Did you get it? You are God's fellow workers. No matter what. No matter what. And that's key. So, I stop for a quick second. Anybody feeling a little challenged? I'll throw this out. Let's get really real. Okay? Let's get real this morning. Many of us are in different political places. And it is dividing the Church of Jesus Christ right here. Because we may not hate, in the worst sense, people that are in the body, but we don't really like them. We don't really like what they think. We don't like what they do. We don't like what they say. And we don't really want to be around them. And if we're really real, it's true. And it's true for me too. You know, and we are fighting over all these crazy things. Masks, vaccines, you know, this, that. The main issue is Jesus and redemption. Right? And all of us, pastors, by the way, are off track. And if you guys watch some of the, and this, by the way, this scares me. As I watch some of the men that I have respected highly in the past, who are great commentators, great teachers of the scripture, some of the things they're saying today, I'm going, where in the world is he coming from? Right? And not that I know everything, because I'm trying to learn from them. They taught me before. You know, they were sort of my go-to, right? You know, some, you say one of those big names of the past, you go, oh, okay, his teaching is sound. But I'm hearing things, I'm going, what? Where is that coming from? Right? So we got to be careful, and we got to be real, and we got to change. We got to repent. And that starts in the pulpit and goes all the way out to the deacons and everyone else too, right? Because we all struggle with those things. The bottom line, right? Obedience. Let's just dig into that real quick. Remember I mentioned, right, there's this linkage. If you love God, guess what? You got to obey him. Says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. In other words, right, what he's trying to say here is this. You know what? If you love God, you're automatically going to obey God. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's going to help you to do what? Obey God. That's the direction that we're going. And I like what he says. Check out this next verse. And his commandments are not burdensome. How many people out there, you got saved from a really difficult sin that had you in bondage? Thinking that anybody have, like, another thing, again, raise your hand, maybe you had an addiction, you know, you struggle with something, it was impossible to break without God. That's something that's burdensome, right? But when God changes us and God saves us and we begin to love him, it's because he gave us that unconditional love that could change us. All of a sudden, my desire, my affinity, my will is being changed by the Holy Spirit to want to obey God. It's not fun to disobey God anymore. You know, and you guys all know this. Sometimes, you know, people and parents say this a lot. Don't do that. And as a kid, what did you want to do? I wanted to do it 10 times more. Right? And, you know, and we still see that, right? That's a very immature way of thinking, right? When someone says, don't do that. You know, but in our heart, we go, man, I really want to do it just because they told me don't. Right? That's the thing that the Spirit of God breaks and changes, right? And real quick, we'll look at a couple of verses. Remember this verse? Jesus called the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and he called them to a new way. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, as a believer in Christ, you know what? It's not that burdensome when I'm really walking with God to obey God. It's so much easier than trying to force myself through the law to obey the law because of the consequences, right? That's a whole different thing. So there's a good scripture that kind of talks about that. And how about this? Galatians chapter 5, right? It says, if we walk in the Spirit, right, we're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. So as we walk in the Spirit, right, God makes this possible, right, that I love God, I can obey God because the Spirit of God is convicting, directing, bringing things to my mind, making me, what? Uncomfortable, so that I can be obedient. right? We have that there, and that's just an important thing to kind of get a hold of, right? And then as we think about this last passage, right, it says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I kind of just took the two endpoints of this passage. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. So I can obey God. It's not in control like it used to be anymore. What a huge thing. And finally, the bottom line for victory, right? And he kind of just throws this in real quick at the end. The bottom line for victory is what? He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the victory. You know, when we have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see it in John 16, right? Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're overcomers because we have the Lord, and he helps us to have peace even in the midst of problems. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, right? It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is, you know what? We have heaven for sure. We have his presence on earth. We can obey him, and we can live in a way that's going to bring him glory. We can love those we don't want to love. We can do all those things because of who God is. So the bottom line, right? Love, obedience, and victory in life is about what? Relationship with the Lord. Relationship with the Spirit. Fellowship intimately with God. And we can change even those areas like love and hate that are so hard. And I just want to throw out to us the bottom line for us, right? Here it is, right? Is God speaking to us, you guys? That's kind of weak. Is God speaking to us? Yeah. I'll throw this out. Is there any love issues out there? Yes. There is. There really is, right? There's some real struggle out there. Are we all measuring up to exactly where God wants us to be? No. So what God wants us to do is to think like him. Think like him. And I appreciate, we always talk about the message, and Cindy shared this word to be a test. She said, you know what? Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Because we think we fix them anywhere else, we're going to go off course. But if we fix them on Jesus, we're going to be right where he can deal with us. If we're doing the right thing, if we're loving like Jesus did, he's going to confirm that. If we're doing the wrong thing, he's going to convict us of that. Let's focus on him. Amen? Let's pray. We'll go to the Lord's table. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, that Father, you are the head, Lord, of a church that is united, of a church that is loving. And Father, you are praying for that. Lord, you are working on that. You are using your Spirit to convict us and change us, Lord, when we're off of that. And I pray, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts today. Father, no matter what side of the equation we're on, Lord, if we don't love, we're a liar. We don't want to be liars, Lord. We want to just bring, Father, a perfect picture of who you are to a world that needs help and a world that needs hope. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do that right now. Father, convict us, change us, help us to turn and repent. Father, help us to stay close to you, Lord, so that in your power we can overcome and we can forsake those sins and live differently. And Lord, I pray these things.